Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know. Streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime, on any screen, at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this Monday, 21st day of August, 2023. And tonight we have with me a longtime friend and former president of Ohio Right to Life. Right now, she is with the Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio. And, well, she is a wonderful, wonderful mother and a longtime pro-life activist, a real hardcore pro-life activist, Linda Tice. Hey, Linda.
Hey, God bless you, Pastor Ernie. It's really good to be here. Thanks for inviting me to come on.
Well, we've got you here tonight. We have a lot to talk about tonight. And we also have with me, he just got back from a long trip and helped save a fellow's life, my longtime co-host, none other than that legendary preacher from Missouri, the Parson Joe Larson.
Oh, good evening. Hello, Linda. I wish I could meet
Hi,
you.
Hi, how are you? I know we're going to do that one of these days, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll have to. Just want to remind folks, you've got to not drink and drive. My grandson and I Saturday had to help pull a Harley Davidson off a drunk motorcyclist that had rolled a bike in a ditch, and it was really bad. And fortunately, one thing I've got to say about Missouri, we were kind of remote, and everybody came by, stopped, offered to help or call or go or do something. And thank goodness we got to an ambulance and on our way to a life flight. Don't know if he'd make it or not, but good people willing to stop and do whatever they can, and just bless all those people.
Amen.
Praise God you were there.
My wife won't let me ride a motorcycle anymore, Joe.
Yeah, so I gave that up for a long time ago. The doctors told me the next time I got hurt, they were going to send me to the welder.
Well, I was going to wait till I got your age. All right. Okay, listen, we have a whole lot to talk about tonight, and we're going to get right to it. The title of my message this week, Linda, you got to stay with us through this Bible study. You'll like this. And then the title of this message was A Tale of Several Cities, A Tale of Several Cities. So here in Ohio, we have something called NOWACA. In fact, tomorrow night, they're having a meeting here in Ohio, NOWACA, which is, we call them Agenda 21. Or another name, that's the Ohio version. And I guess they're calling it today, they moved it to Agenda 2030. But some of the things, and what they've done now, they've changed, they've switched over to the new thing, climate change. Climate change has got about every bit as much credibility as evolution, I would say. What do you think? Yeah, anyhow.
Well, like they've done with everything, it was global warming, and when people caught on to global warming, they made it climate change. Well, you can't dispute climate change. It's been changing all the time since creation, and it will continue that way. But it sounded a lot better than the debunked global warming. So, again, shifting words and meanings, they just keep distracting the poor sheep.
Yeah, they're globalists, and tomorrow right here in our area, out in the Geauga County area, tomorrow evening from 5:30 to 7 p.m., the OACA, or if you will, Agenda 2030, is going to be meeting at the Federated Church at 16349 Chillicothe Road. That's right there in Bainbridge. And so they're going to be pretending. I mean, this whole thing about this climate change hoax. But, again, these people are Agenda 21, and folks are asked to come out. Geauga County Tea Party is asking people to come out and come in there, citizens to come in and file their complaints. We don't want them here. We've had several meetings in Lake and Geauga and Cuyahoga, other counties, where the people have come out, and I've been at a couple where 90% of the people are saying, "We don't want you here. We don't want you. Leave our county. We don't want any. We don't want." And these are sneaky bureaucrats. Who come in, who are like bloodsuckers, who warm up to the politicians. And by the way, what they do here, Joe, is, and this is why we've told the Tea Party folks, you need to have a petition signed to present to them, showing very that you are not members or not of this meeting. Because when protesters, and often you have more protesters show up than you have participants. In fact, usually, the ones I've been to, it's been way many more protesters. They go, and they put those protesters down as participants in their agenda, and they turn that over to the so-called mainstream media here, and the mainstream media puts out, they had so many people attending our participants. And,
yep.
Of course,
well, they do other dirty tricks. I remember that up at the Capitol, Jeff City, we had something like that. We had thousands out front, and then back there were a couple hundred pro-deathers, and what they did was they took shots and made it look like a huge crowd, and they talked about how big it was, and you know, it was just one big lie. So the news will blow it out of proportion by pictures, by count, you know, whatever they can do to promote their side. So you gotta watch it.
Well, recently, you know, Cleveland become the first 15-minute city, which is a part of the agenda of the Agenda 2030. These 15-minute cities where everything is contained within the city, and where they want to pull everybody into the city. And, of course, here in Ohio, what they, you know, well, in across the country, in fact, they wanted to have buildings that are 33 stories high, and again, these huge building complexes, they want to go out, now they want to expand more than 10 miles around each major city like Cleveland or Cincinnati, Columbus, whatever, and move everybody out of the countryside into the city, and where people will own nothing, you won't have a car, you'll be housed in these huge apartments, and you'll actually have to get permission to go to the countryside, and it's about complete total control. What you eat will be controlled, where you can go, everything, your entire life will be controlled. This is what it's about. Well, you know,
a news article we'll do later that'll back up everything you're saying.
Well, tonight we're going to talk about, again, the title of the message was A Tale of Several Cities.
Several Cities.
So we're going to take a look at the very first 15-minute city. And you'd be surprised. And we're going to find that in Genesis chapter 11. And let's kind of take a couple verses at a time. So go ahead, Joe, read verse 1.
And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech.
Well, that's an interesting thing, because in the Hebrew, that word language there is the same word we use for lip. For lip. It's a one lip. And that word speech there is the word in the Hebrew. What we talk about is set of words. A set of words. So he says, and the whole world was of one lip and one set of words. Now here we're going to see that Noah and Shem, well, actually here, when you take a look at this, they were the ones that recorded this, Noah and Shem. So it was very likely that it was recorded. This was recorded in the Hebrew language. Now, when you take a look at Shem and Ham and Japheth, they had over 70 nations were started by those three. In fact, if we go over to Genesis 9 for a minute and read verse 18 and 19, we read this. And the sons of Noah that went forth from the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. And these are the three sons of Noah. And of them the whole earth was overspread. And so here, if we go ahead and read verses 2 and 3.
And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar.
Okay, so they went, their decision is to settle there in this one city here, and it was in total defiance of God's plan to fill the earth and to establish regional government. They decided that here, this was going to be the new world order, the one world order they were going to establish here. And so here, they wanted to start, as you see there, corporations. They wanted to start corporations and start to manufacture there in the city bricks. And here, when you took a look at Nimrod, Nimrod wanted to be what? The global leader. He was kind of like an antichrist of his day. And so go ahead and read verses 4 through 6.
And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do.
So why would he, in the next verses it says, go to, let us go down there and confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Why would he want to confound their language?
Well, he had told them to what? Go and all across the whole face of the earth, populate, spread out all over the earth. And they wanted to consolidate. And the one thing is, as long as they had one language and one goal, they could achieve it. But if they couldn't communicate, they couldn't build their city, they couldn't build their factory. But it's interesting, the word, let us build us a city, up until that point, cities were a long memory back after the flood. Enough people to even populate it. It had to be a while before there were enough people to even populate a city, right?
Right, there wasn't any cities at this time here.
Right.
And so, now Nimrod was known to be, he was called a hunter of men. And it has it, legends have it, that Nimrod climbed his tower and shot an arrow into heaven, and shooting an arrow at God. I think he missed. What do you think?
I've got several bows and arrows. I don't think mine would get very close to heaven.
Well, now...
Sounds like a lot of pride to me.
When you were in the service, we would often be around people that spoke other languages. And I know what I was doing there, we trained special service troops, okay? And often, and I remember especially when you were around the Turkish troops, and they would speak a language you could not understand at all. But that didn't bother you unless there was a group of these young Turkish soldiers, and they were standing a little ways away, and they were speaking in their native tongue. But every now and then they kept glancing over with a smirk at us, and you kind of got this feeling that they were talking about us.
And yeah.
And when you... Right, you see, when you're around people like that and you can't understand what they're up to, it kind of makes you want to not be around them, huh?
Oh, it creates that little bit of insecurity. What are they talking about? Why are they looking at me? It creates all kinds of funny little feelings inside a person. It's like being the only two or three English guys in the middle of a Korean compound. You know, everybody's looking at you talking, and you don't really have any idea what they're saying.
So with these people,
you just hope the interpreter is telling you the right thing.
So at this time, these when he scattered, when he confounded their language, they knew something very, very strange was happening, and they knew who it was that could do that. So they decided to get away from these people because they couldn't understand them, and because of that, they felt that they were a threat. So he goes and he says, therefore, the name of the place was called Babel because the Lord did there confound their language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. So... from Genesis 1 to Genesis 9, what was the very first command? The very first command that God gave mankind?
Go forth and multiply. Fill, replenish the earth after the flood. Replenish the earth.
To be fruitful and multiply. To be fruitful
right.
was the very first command.
I mean, be fruitful and multiply.
And so he gave it three times, and to replenish all of the earth. And that's kind of not what our government's up to today, is it?
No, they want to they want just the opposite. They want to depopulate the whole earth.
And so, when
again, still disobedient, antichrist against what God wanted, and now they're even more direct. Instead of just wanting to combine, now they want to destroy.
And so, how does that coincide with the divine order, when God gave us the divine institution of human government, was the second institution that God gave us, okay? The very first institution was marriage and the family. And God was very clear when he gave us that institution. He gave us the definitions. He defined marriage and the family. Marriage was between one man, one woman.
One woman.
Okay, for one lifetime. And so that was the defined. Man and a woman, a male and a female. There wasn't any other things back then, there was there?
No. Nope.
Yeah.
There weren't any surgeons going around trying to play God and cutting
mutilate
body parts and mutilating and reattaching and all this stuff.
So I have news for the folks out there. This is a best-kept secret around the public school system is that there still are only two genders. That hasn't changed.
Will never change.
The only thing that has changed is the imaginations of some very foolish people, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's an illusion. It's a delusion, rather, not an illusion. It's a delusion, and it's a sign of a really degenerate mind to think they can change what God has made. So
when God gave us, when he gave us the divine institution of human government during the Noahic Covenant. And this is a covenant he made and an institution that he said would span all dispensations, would span every dispensation, period. And so he made 5 points very clear to that, in that. And The first one was to whom it was given.
Given, right.
And that you find there in Genesis 9 and 10 and 12 and verses 15 and 16. To all mankind, for perpetual generations, and to all living beings. So that's who it was given to. And the second point was the intent. And that you find in Genesis 1 through 4. That man was to govern for God. Man was to govern for God. And now, do you remember what the third point was, Joe?
Was to protect the image of God.
The entire purpose, listen to this, the entire purpose of divine human government, which God gave legitimate, which is real government, was to preserve the image of God, that being man. Therein lies where we got the statute of the death penalty in Genesis 5 through 9, 5 through 7. So the very, very, the complete purpose of human government was to preserve the image of God. How do you think that coincided with Roe v. Wade?
It's in direct violation, or direct
so,
opposite.
Linda would
strictly opposed is the word.
Okay, so that would be treason against God. Roe v. Wade was treason against God and humanity, wasn't it?
Complete rebellion, complete and total rebellion.
And then, do you remember what the fourth point was? The fourth point was the means by which man was to govern for God.
Oh, that's right, the means.
God's laws, God's statutes, God's precepts, God's covenants, God's promises. These were the means to be used. In fact, the 119th Psalm lays them all out. And then the fifth point was that all nations and all people that would be in compliance with the first four points would be at peace and not at war with God. Unfortunately, not too many nations fit that bill today, huh?
No, I don't think there's anybody today.
Well, there are peoples, and that's us.
There are people, not nations. People,
yeah.
This is both people and nations. I think they're nations.
Well, on us.
And those who aren't are in direct opposition are going to be under judgment.
Well, actually, here in America, we have two nations inhabiting one land. Remember when I spoke for Judge Roy Moore, he asked me to come down and speak at that conference, and that's what I spoke on, two nations inhabiting one land, and it didn't make the mainstream media very happy what they heard, but
no,
and so hang tight, we're up against a break. We'll be back right after this.
America, America, is it too late to save you? Will foreign troops invade your soil? Will government enslave you? Will the greatness that was once your crown be trampled in the streets? Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the America. Once God's word was your standard, how gradually you've compromised, how far you finally wandered. For the years of silent apathy, to God we now repent. For the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast.
land needs Jesus now. If he's confined within the church, its walls will crumble down. We must awake, we must arise for his kingdom to secure. We know the battle has been won. Yes, the victory is sure. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Now don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned.
My eyes are wide open, and they've been wide open for a long time, and I've seen the lessons, and my eyes can see that on November 7th of this year, Well, Linda, we've got to win this. We really got to win this. On issue one, people were totally confused, and the opposition did a good job with all of their lawyers, and thousands and thousands, or millions of about $40 million worth of dark money came into Ohio from California, New Jersey, and New York on this. But now it's going to come down, and we've got to win this. So, is no the word for November?
No is definitely the word for November. Absolutely. There's just no way we can survive with any kind of pro-life initiatives to protect any babies or any moms or any parents from all of these decisions that are being made regarding reproductive choices. If this goes through and if this is put into our Constitution, this is not just a law that can be changed. It's not fluid. We can't go in and change it in the legislature next year if we don't like it, if it doesn't work out well. This is going to be part of the Ohio Constitution, and that is really hard to change. In order to do that, we would have to go back through this whole process again and have to fight those who would really they're here to harm women and to harm babies, and it tears families apart. And they know that. They know that. It ties right in with everything that you were just talking about, you know, with the 15-minute cities and organizing everything to be under their control. They don't like us having babies. They don't like us having solid families that are secure. And so there's an underlying really evil sense of what Satan is doing here. And we have to pull together all of the people in this state who have any kind of conviction about family, about children, about parents, about the preborn, and they have to come out and vote. So we're trying to learn from what went wrong on the issue one that we obviously lost big time. So much confusion was going on there, and a lot of the people that we thought we could depend on to help on it backed off and did not help. Now, that's not the pro-life people. That's all the organizations. You might remember, Pastor Ernie, all these organizations said that they were all yes on issue one, you know, the Chamber of Commerce. Steve Stivers at the Chamber of Commerce did nothing. The Farm Bureau was all on board. The Farm Bureau did send out a couple of mailings, but they didn't even come out until very late. Even the Second Amendment folks that were all supposed to support this, the NFIB, the pork producers, all of the hunters, you know, we were told you pro-life people go out and you do your thing, and we'll take care of all of the rest of this. And none of those people turned up, and we were the only ones who worked really hard on this. And we got very little help from the Republican Party as well, sadly, because they promised all kinds of things that they were going to do on issue one that didn't get done. So now we're looking at what's happening here in November, and we're thinking, where do we go to get the support? Number one, we go to the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit so much on all of this. We've got to be constantly in prayer for direction, to do the right thing and to be discerning, so that we can learn what didn't go well for the August election, fix it up, and get back at it so that we can pull this off in November. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. But it's going to take all the Christians. If just the Christians would vote, if the churches would all come on board and preach like some of them did so well back in, you know, for the August election, some of them were great, but many others just sat back and didn't do anything.
You just put your finger on it, young lady. That's where we lost it. It wasn't Farm Bureau or the pork producers. It was from the pulpit. We lost it in the pulpit. And we lost, that's where we lost Roe v. Wade. We lost all of those from the pulpit because, like Abe Lincoln said, that for men to remain silent when they should speak out destroys nations and makes cowards of men. And there's been an extreme dearth of courage in the pulpits and the churches in the state. And now I will say this, that there were more this time than there has been in the past, but not nearly what it should have been. And I know I had called around to a number of pastors that I knew, and they were like me. They were all speaking out, telling their people, you go out and vote yes on issue one, get out there. And they were telling their people. But I can see what happened. People were confused. I went into the post office. There were four women in there. And on my car, I had the magnetic sign that says, vote yes.
Uh-huh.
And when I walked in there, they were all talking. They were looking at me. And so the fellow that was with me, he says to them, ladies, make sure you vote yes. And they thought yes meant that we were in favor of amending the Constitution for, in other words, of not amending, of not changing the vote from 50 to 60. They were totally confused, 50 to 60%.
They're very confused, yes.
Yeah,
yep.
And so when we explained that to them, and we explained what this, then all of us said, well, we're so great that you're glad you did that, because we were all going to vote no.
One of the girls down at our board of elections called me, and she said, oh, Linda, she said, we're in trouble. She said this really sweet couple came in, and they voted, older couple, and they were walking out holding hands, and they were so pleased that they had voted no, because they thought that was going to keep abortion out of the Constitution.
Yeah.
They had it backwards. They did. They had it backwards, and they thought they were doing the right thing. You know, in analyzing all that, I was just at a meeting on Saturday, and we're figuring that about 300,000 of those votes were confused people. So we should get those people to come on board and vote no in November, because it's not going to be as confusing then. So hopefully they'll be able to see what's going on. There was just so much, the opposition came out and said, you know, they're cutting up your Constitution. Well, nobody wants to cut up the Constitution. And there was no way to answer that. They know that. It was all intended to confuse people, and they did. That's exactly what they did. And that's why so many people up in Michigan last year ended up going in and voting the wrong way. They thought they were voting the right way. So, but, you know, you're right about the pastors, though. The ones who spoke out really spoke out well. And it's been interesting for me to watch those guys now come back and be frustrated that not enough of their brothers who were in the pulpit were doing the same thing. I thought, yes, this is what we need. We need for you to reach out to the other pastors who are not speaking out and say, listen, brother, we need to be one voice on this. We can't let this stand, you know, because God offers a double portion of judgment to those who are teaching and preaching, not a double portion of grace. It's a double portion of judgment. So as they have seen that others haven't spoken out like they have, they're starting to really, really go to those guys and say, listen, we got to do this. Well, you and I were talking about how this happened with Chuck Swindoll, remember, years ago.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe that you were the one who did that, because I remember hearing him on the radio in tears saying, I'm so sorry, I'm repenting for this, because our Catholic brothers and sisters were the only ones who handled the abortion issue for all this time, and we need to step up. And then you told me you were the one doing the interview. I couldn't believe it. I thought,
yeah,
oh my
yeah,
God.
He took my hand live on air. In fact, that was not only on air, it was on camera. And
unbelievable.
And he asked God to forgive him. I kind of got after him a little bit.
I bet you did. I bet
yeah.
you did. Good for you. But that's what all of us should do. We should all go to our pastors, and the pastors should go to their friends that are pastors and say, listen, we've got to do this. Because if we don't, God's people who are made in his image are going to be slaughtered in the womb, and women are going to be suffering with depression and all kinds of physical ailments for years and years and years when they're at home doing their, you know, their pill abortion in their bathroom and flushing their babies down the commode. Think of what that does to women. And you know, we've got 47% of the abortions in Ohio that are now pill abortions. They're not even going into the abortion clinics. Their new abortion clinic is their home, their bathroom, their bedroom, and then they have to live there.
The effect has become, first of all, we got to take away the arguments of these prissy preachers, because what they'll say is, well, in fact, there's a mega church not far from where I'm at where the pastor actually told the people, I don't advise you to get involved in politics. I advise you to stay out of politics. Well, here's the problem. Let me ask you this. I know, Linda, we'll ask Joe. He's a pretty smart fellow. See if he knows.
Oh,
hey,
Joe.
Hey, Joe. Is abortion, is that a political issue, or is that a moral and sin issue?
It is a moral and sin issue. The Supreme Judge of the universe has already ruled on it, so there really is no question.
Okay, so now
it was
also
determined before creation, actually. So I'd say it's kind of what you call settled law. Thou shalt not, must not, cannot, will not.
All right, so when these pastors tell you that we stay away from political issues, you tell them child killing is not a political, it is a moral issue, and
exactly.
You are required. You are required to preach the gospel.
Well, like you said, what was the purpose of government? To protect the image of God. And
absolutely.
Killing a unborn child is not protecting the image of God. It is destroying, so it's violating one of the first things in Scripture.
So, Joe, if you were to say today, well, I'm of minor attraction, what would you be saying today, Joe?
I would be saying that's a pedophile.
That you're a pedophile.
Just
that's what they're
changing the name, like global warming to climate change, and pedophile to a minor attracted person. They keep they've been doing this since the Fabian socialist way back in the late 1800s. The words were going to be the weapon of warfare in this new battle. By changing and shifting words and meanings, they would change the debate, they would change the focus, they would keep the sheeple fooled and ignorant. And it's been working very well ever since they came up with the concept.
Do you remember that passage in Scripture?
And the Marxists into political correctness and made it even worse.
Do you remember that passage in Scripture where it says, and the state, raise up your children in the admonition of politics? No, no, that's not what it says.
No, in the admonition
of the
Lord.
Oh, no, it doesn't say that.
So we have something called parental parental responsibility and parental consent, don't we?
Right, and we were to be the first and basic teachers. You know, what does it say? Have the Ten Commandments posted at your doorpost?
Mm-hmm.
You teach your children from when they get up in the morning, while you walk with them during the day, while you sit with them, you know, before they go to bed at night. I mean, that's not political. That was God's admonition to his, what, children.
Has God ever made a mistake?
Well, no. I was almost going to do a bad joke and say he let Joe Biden live, but I shouldn't have done that. It crossed my mind. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So I couldn't help myself.
So when he...
Even pastors occasionally get these thoughts, folks. You know, we're only human.
So when he made little boys boys and girls girls, he wasn't confused on that, right? I mean, he didn't get them.
He wasn't confused. He didn't need somebody to show him a newer and better way, you know. It's kind of like the Bible. He didn't need, you know, 16 perversions to be able to explain himself.
And so when you start fooling around and mutilating the sexual parts of these boys and girls, that would be... Well, it would be not only child abuse, okay, but that'd be a horrible sin, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Just what?
That would be a horrible, horrible violation of the image of God. You would be transgressing God's and to God's dominion. But now, Linda, tell them,
and all of these things that are a millstone, you know.
Right, and all of these things that we just mentioned, you can add a couple more in there. One of them you could add would be Second Amendment, okay? The Bible clearly gives us the Second Amendment right to own and weapons to protect ourselves. Not only does it give us the right, it gives us the charge, the responsibility to do that.
As is possible within you, live at peace, but he knew that the world was not going to be at peace. Never has been.
So, Linda, in all of these things that we just mentioned here, have they come up with an actual name of this that they're trying to pass? I know it's the women's reproductive for this.
It is, where's the full name of this? It's called the Right to Reproductive Freedom with Protections for Health and Safety. Of which is none.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you start talking reproductive freedom, you know that is AKA unregulated abortion. We all know that. Mm-hmm. And there are no protections. There's no health for the baby, no health or safety for the mom or for families at all. So it's a lie.
I was just
going to
say, let me add something. There is on World News Daily, WND.com, a big story out about chemical abortions. And a couple of highlights. They talk the Guttmacher Institute.
Guttmacher. They're part of Planned Parenthood.
Back in 2020, abortion pills made up over half the abortions, about 53%. Now, that was in 2020. It's gone up. Now, what's interesting, virtual clinics are now fully independent in most cases, with no brick-and-mortar affiliation, ties to a clinic. You can go online, and they're set up. Basically, they are they spend little or no time with the clients. Several are openly selling these drugs of poor quality to minors. Some have been known to sell it to 14- and 15-year-olds. And here's the big story. DKT International sells millions of these globally, and they may be shipping these drugs into the U.S. manufactured by the Delhi-based Snokum Pharmaceuticals. And their reputation is for very, very shoddy quality. They've been sued and different things. But the... their U.S. affiliate, FemHealth USA, look at the words, FemHealth USA is taking the drugs from this DK International, a very poor quality firm, and they're selling these abortion kits, and they're selling them through Choices Rising and Chocks Incorporated. And like I said, they've been known to sell to children 14 and 15. And so here we have, and this is growing by leaps and bounds. And the guy said, you know what? Today, virtually all that is needed to set up a chemical abortion pill business is a computer, a phone, and the ability to write a prescription, which is why one of the abortion providers recently called the selling of abortion pills by mail a great business model.
Oh my gosh. Dangerous?
Yes, they're selling stuff from a lousy, you know, pharmaceuticals. They're selling them to children. And, you know, people, parents, beware. Your little, you know, girls can go online and buy these pills themselves. And the pills
could
be
dangerous. And, Joe, what's the reference for that again? That was in what article? I want to jot that down myself.
This is in World... WND.com, I call it World News Daily. It's been around a long, long time.
Yep.
Chemical abortion toll surges as unregulated virtual clinics expand. Chemical abortion toll surges as unregulated virtual clinics expand. Now, there's a lot more. I'm just kind of trying to make it brief, which states.
Yeah.
But, you know, the liberal states, you know, they're the ones that are really pushing it. And it's interesting, the big states are the ones that push some of the companies, the C-H-O-I-X. I call it Chocks. I'm not sure. Choices Rising and Chocks, Inc. And as I look through this, it's the big cities and the liberal states that get their stuff from those companies. Wouldn't you know?
So well, you know, Joe, you know, you know what we've talked about before is the hypocrisy of the left, the ultimate hypocrisy. Now, we, again, we just wanted to, raise the percentage to 60% to amend the Constitution. But those people, every one of the ones on the other side, the hypocrisy, the ACLU, they have a 66% to amend their constitution. The Democratic Party of Ohio, which is the communist part, communist Democratic Party, they're communist to the bone. Same thing, 66%. The League of Women Voters, which are just really a branch of the Democratic Party, 66%. The NAACP, 66%. The NEA, 75%. A supermajority, 75%.
5%.
Planned predators, the most wicked, evil, ungodly, creeping, crawling purveyors of death on planet Earth. They call themselves Planned Parenthood. Their name is a lie. They've got nothing to do with parenthood. 66%. And the Ohio Education Association, 75%. All of these that are pushing and promoting, the hypocrisy is just unbelievable. The hypocrisy of these people. That's what we tried to get that message
out. That's right, and they know darn well if they can keep us at 50% plus one, they can come in here and they can scare people and confuse people, and it doesn't take much at all to get in 50% plus one, and they can put it into the Constitution. They're doing an end round game, you know, around the legislature. This all belongs in the Ohio Revised Code. All of this stuff that they want to put in the Constitution should be over in the Revised Code so that it can be fluid. If things change, you can change it up. I mean, do we want to put minimum wage in the Constitution? For heaven's sake, no, that belongs over in the Revised Code. If it needs to be here this year, maybe it needs to be there next year. It can be fluid there, but you don't put these things into the Constitution and then have them supersede everything else. I mean, the Constitution is what everything else goes up against. You know, you throw it up against the Constitution. That's why we're so concerned about this in November. It's going to supersede everything. Even if the Supreme Court comes through now and says in Ohio, we're going to reinstate the heartbeat law. Great. That would be great. But you know what? If we lose in November, immediately it's done. We have no parental notice. We have no informed consent. We have no hospital regulations, regular standards, because those things would all be considered burdens on the individual making the decision. Individual, if they wanted it to be an adult woman, they would have said that, but they didn't. They said no gender. They said absolutely no age limit. So this can apply to anybody making any choices regarding their reproductive decisions. And anybody assisting them is protected. So the abortionist is protected. So the sex trafficker is protected. So the coach who's pressuring a girl to have an abortion. So the counselor who's talking to a 14-year-old boy who's got gender confusion, you know, you can't interfere with those people. You can't bring charges against them. So as a parent or as a grandparent, I would have no say in what's going on with my minor daughter, granddaughter, son, grandson, who's confused about this stuff. If they've made decisions and they've got somebody else helping them, I have no recourse. I can't go to the law because the state may not interfere. That means no laws. That means no regulations. That means no rules. It's crazy. They have written this so open-ended that anything goes. Mutilation, of course, if you so choose and you're 13 or 14 or 15 or 12 or 9, who's going to stop you? Who's going to stop you? You know, Planned Parenthood, the ACLU, all those guys are going to be standing right at the door. I'm scared to death of what they will do to the pregnancy centers.
Yeah.
The pregnancy they'll be seen as an undue burden on decisions that are being made. And so what do you do then? They're going to be bringing lawsuits like crazy. They're going to stand right in line to start bringing those lawsuits.
And they'll be going after radio programs like this one. And they're going to be going after any actual pastors to preach against sin. It will be what they will do.
Absolutely. How do you preach from Romans without being an undue burden or being an influence, either directly or indirectly, which is how the language goes? I mean, it's wild. They threw everything but the kitchen sink in here.
Linda, we're up against a hard
break.
I'm up against a hard break. You just hang on right there, and we'll be back right after this. So don't go away. More to come.
Okay.
So when we come back, we're going to take a little look at what happened there in Maui. Be right back.
Oh. Yeah.
Don't go away. Very important.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.